A Zen student asked Ajahn Chah, "How old are you? Do you live here all year round?" "I live nowhere," he replied. "There is no place you can find me. I have no age. To have age, you must exist, and to think you exist is already a problem. Don't make problems, then the world has none either. Don't make a self, there's nothing more to say." So if you're not into Buddhism, you think the man's mad, don't you? And, you know, these kinds of quotes are, that wasn't the common teaching he gave. The common teaching was, "You guys talk too much, go back to your kutis. Who left the spittoons unwashed?" Right? Or, "Guy, you don't know how to clean this up." You know, he was quite pointed sometimes if we were sloppy and things like that. So when you read about these great teachers, we in the West take these fabulous aphorisms or pithy sayings and we get a whole book of them. But, you know, it wasn't like that all the time at all. It was just a teacher taking on all the different aspects of training a group of men and then a lay community. But he was... And so these, of course, are real gems. People have asked me about my own practice. How do I prepare my own mind for meditation? There's nothing special. I just keep it where it always is. You know? Oh. Man, what does he mean by that? Now, where's the mind always? It's here the way things are. You know, conscious, you know, it's so simple, and yet, you know, I think the profundity of something like Lompa Cha was his simplicity in the way he could take nature and indicate things. So, people have asked me about my own practice. How do I prepare my own mind for meditation? There is nothing special. I just keep it where it always is. They ask, "Are you then an arhat? Do I know? I am like a tree, full of leaves, blossoms, and fruit. Birds come to eat and to nest. Yet the tree does not know itself. It follows its own nature. It is as it is." That's from Still Forest Pool. And I look at trees, and you know, this. I'm almost fascinated by the silence of trees. You know, they're not arguing with me. They're just doing their growing thing, doing their tree thing. I kind of like being in the silence of trees. I think it's what we all do. It's a kind of natural thing. So where is your mind always? Off to the fairies. thinking about this paradox of, like yesterday I had a coffee at the wrong time. And afternoon is coffee at the wrong time for me, which means I really didn't get any sleep last night. So this morning I paid the price. So the sense of self is like, "Gurudamo, how many times have you done that? You know you're not supposed to do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But someone gave me this really good coffee in California, and I wanted to try it." So there's a sense of self there, and history, and time, and consequence. There is consequence, right? And yet, when I stop and I just observe the way things are, that sense of time is not fixed. It's a thought. It's a perception. The sense of self is a perception, and there's the knowing of just that. So in that, there's no kind of fixed self. You get this paradox running. If you don't take on the paradox that both are in some way true, have a validity, you can get very confused by the anatta teaching. But what we're trying to do is both make good coffee choices. So that the consequences of our social and nutritional lives are as wholesome as can be. But then also we're trying to do this way of abiding in not taking it personally, or not self, or emptiness. So you say not take it personally, well, you're still responsible. You still get the consequences, don't you? I mean, I still get the consequences of unskillful choices. They still come at me. And so that paradox is it must be resolved in the Arahant when the choices are no longer from, a fixed entity. But I don't know. I'm not that far along the road for sure. So to do both, to make choices, to be responsible, to take, like if I do something which is inappropriate, and I run away with the camera, I run off to the new Rideau Raceway casino with our flash auto and spend all the money on the slot machines. I can't say it's not self. I could say that in jail. It's not self. So in a meditation retreat, I think, especially, and in periods of meditation, to go to this other side of the Buddhist teaching, not just to the moral side, but this kind of mysterious, interesting sense that consciousness is presence, is awareness, is the way things are, and that things come and go in that. And that's a kind of, for me, it's a change from me being in the world, traveling through time, going to my QT, making sure I get my shower slot and doing all those kinds of things, to a switch to, oh, this is happening in awareness. So then the sense of the self happens in awareness, that time happens in awareness, that history happens in awareness, so awareness is bigger. And that perspective is not, it's not like a philosophical belief. It's not like you're trying to, it's more something you do. You bring up that perception. So as, like, let's say if I feel like, if someone feels like insecure, maybe, probably many of you are thinking where, what's rest home you'll be in. Maybe you're planning your old folks home. I don't know. That must be a, I am, it's this place. And so, or you too, or Denny's. So that's, it's a real consideration. Like, what will happen to me when I'm 64? When I'm 84? And so that's a necessary consideration, whether it be in our finances or whatever. And yet you don't know. It's unsure. You can do all you can, or some of the younger members of our community, maybe they're thinking, oh, where am I? How can I go to another place or a different place or whatever? And so whether you're young or old, there is that tendency to look for a secure future. And to some extent we have to do something, and yet we also have to live in faith. You need both. But to without saying that one shouldn't plan for life in some reasonable way, financially, etc., but to also look at insecurity, say, to look at the very feeling, the discomfort of insecure, not being sure, without running away from it, and without, but with us also not being irresponsible, still responsible, just to look at insecurity, is it can be a tremendous source of freedom, not the freedom that you get $1 million and the whole planet's taking care of you, but more that even that is okay, that awareness can, that's happening in awareness. And feelings of like insecurity, they're very uncomfortable, very unpleasant. We don't want them. So very easily our mind just goes into thinking, right? We just go into thinking because we don't want that unpleasantness. That's why we think about it, because it's so unpleasant. And we need to think a little bit, but I think all of us have seen how worry does not necessarily solve insecurity, because the future is always unknown. So to do both. And in a retreat, especially maybe if anything like that comes up, to say, oh, this is a chance. This is a chance to practice. I don't know, I'm not sure. Unknown, doubt, insecurity. And when one learns to live with those states of mind, the peace that comes from living with them is the peace of not just that they come and go, but the desire to always have security, that begins to fall away. Because that's a very strong desire. We have to be secure, to be liked, to be all those other things. So when you live with feelings of insecurity or sadness or doubt or disappointment, these more what you might call moha characteristics, being with them is not pleasant, it's difficult, and the sense of self wants to kind of manifest there, and you keep going back, oh, this is a mood, and keep labeling it, knowing it, being with it. And then what we're going against the very feeling of desire to run away into a compensation of some sort. We're going against the flow of desire. And that's maybe not very obvious, or it is obvious, but by allowing it to be there, you begin to allow the desire actually to cease. You're no longer fueling it. And there's an interesting kind of peace there where not only does the insecurity come and go, and it's not just the end of a cycle of insecurity, but the very desire ceases, and so there's a deeper peace in the mind. It's something which isn't just because insecurity is a natural condition that comes and goes, it's deeper than that. And that's because we're actually being with that which is unbearable or difficult or seemingly burdensome. You know, if you have grandkids or children, can imagine the worry that parents have about children or grandkids. Or, I mean, I don't have that kind of biological bond. Right? So it could be very, very powerful, I'm sure. I just worry about monasteries. But I find something, you know, very creative. This is the way it works. So to feel what, to what, and then what Lompa Cha is saying, he leaves the mind where it always is, and different things come settle on it. Yeah, like fungus. It's not just birds and bees. Sometimes it's, you know, kind of a turkey comes sitting on one of your branches. Oh, that's heavy. Or, you don't know, but you just, if you take refuge in that. In that image, just knowing the way things are, then you begin to have confidence and trust in that. That's, you know, what do you trust in? What do you trust in? Do you trust in thought, always figuring everything out? Trust in distraction? Do you trust in awareness of change? So it's one's faith is a kind of interesting question. What do you have faith in? So let's do some more sitting.